This is the Hollywood Raw Podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw Podcast, Raw Rundown, where we give you the top 10 stories of the week so you know everything that's going on in the world of pop culture, Hollywood, celebrity, sometimes a little bit of scandal. My name is Adam Glynn. Over there is Dax Holt. We are two out of two of the Hollywood Raw Podcast. We have two people. That's all it is. We have Cam, our producer. Shout out to Cam. He's a good guy. This week, unique week. I was running around this week, Dax. You know who I was with? Our buddy Michael Bublé.
I saw that video. He seems like a pretty cool dude.
Dude, he's great. Great guy. Good personality. He's fun. He gets it. And so for me, it's so funny when I see other people that are kind of like-minded like myself in the industry, when we have the same sort of mentality of it, the best thing to describe someone is they get it. And like their feet are on the ground. They understand the business of it. And he's just cool. He's great. He's really cool. How you doing, bud?
I can't complain. It was rough to get up this morning, but I'm here. I'm here. I'm sitting. I'm talking to you. It's early here in LA, but I made it, bud.
I'm happy that I just finished Suits last night. I dedicated 7,200 hours to Suits, the show Suits. So I feel like it's a big accomplishment.
What's your big review?
The big review is Meghan Markle is, she as an actress, she's fine. I mean, I wouldn't even say great. I wouldn't say good. She's fine. She gets the job done. The show itself, the last two seasons were rough. Once they brought in Katherine Heigl to the show started to go downhill. I think they just needed someone to replace the whole Meghan Markle storyline. Other than that, I enjoyed the show. I've never watched – I can't think of a show that I watched like that. I watched Breaking Bad after. I mean, is it one of the top 10 series of all time? No. But it was good. It was fun. It makes you question all these lawyers and what goes on. Harvey, the main character, was good. But the show's like coming back in some ways. I think Stephen Amell is going to play. I think they're going to do like Suits Vancouver or something like that. I don't know. I got to find a new show to watch. Are you watching anything good?
No. Right now we're in the middle of watching the Hunger Games trilogy. Or I guess it's four movies, but it's really just a trilogy with our kids.
Do you like Hunger Games?
I loved Hunger Games. Loved it.
Really?
Oh my God, I was such a fan of these. And so I'm like, it's actually fun to go back and like watch them at this point. So like it becomes the evening and we only have like, let's say 30, 45 minutes in the evening after soccer practice and all of this stuff to actually sit down and watch. So that's why it's taking a while to get through it, because each movie is like, you know, 2.5 hours long or whatever. Like I'm genuinely excited to watch, and like when we have to turn it off because it's, you know, bedtime and the kids like groan, I groan too. I'm like, come on, just like 20 more minutes. Like it is such a good series. I love it, man.
This is random. Start off. Were you a Lord of the Rings guy?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I loved it all.
I like Lord of the Rings. I enjoy Lord of the Rings. That was a fun movie to me. Well, but
these are very different movies you're talking about here.
I know. Hunger Games just didn't really strike my interest. I don't know. I just got
That's
weird.
Because you're a loser, Adam.
That is true, Dax. I don't disagree with you on that. All right. Let's get to our top 10 stories of the week. But before we get to that, we love reviews. We love them so much. We read them live on air. It's the best thing you do to support us. We also want to show you love back. And give you a little shout out on the air so you could kind of hear your name in front of thousands and thousands and over 100. We get over 125,000 downloads a month. So, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So we want to give you a little shout out. So if you're listening in your car or at the gym or with a friend, you'd be like, oh, they said my name on air. That's pretty cool. They read my review. Dax, do you have a review ready for us?
I do. All right. This one is 5 stars from You So Rad. Says, these dudes rock. So as soon as I heard the first Hollywood Raw podcast, I was hooked. Listening to these two talk about the behind-the-scenes reality of what it's like to gather and disseminate celebrity information was not only fascinating, but also fun. Their vibe is just like a cool friendship sitting around discussing celebrity encounters, and it's so refreshing. Love their personalities and how they vibe together. This is the only celebrity news channel I listen to, and I just love them. Mwah! Colleen O'Brien. So I don't know if I read that one or not. It sounds a little familiar, but again, I read them when I screen grab them to put them in here. So I'm sorry if I read that one already, but it was such a good one. So I'll take it.
Colleen, thank you so much for that. We kiss you back. You know, that's, I think you remember someone kissed us. So we're kissing you back, Colleen, on the cheek, consensual. It's a consensual. We asked for permission before. We don't want it. We didn't just go in there and just kiss you. We slowly made a move. You knew it was, we made you sign the consent form. We don't want to start a problem, Colleen. I don't know what's going on in your home life. All right. On to the top 10 stories of the week, starting with number 10. Dax, what do we got?
JoJo Siwa, looking back at her past relationships and some of the things she's done, and just kind of almost in disbelief. So she sat down with Alex Cooper on the Call Her Daddy podcast, and they were talking all about just her love life when she was young. And she was like, I cannot believe that my girlfriend and I were living together at the age of 16 and 17. She goes, looking back, I really shake my head at some of the decisions that I've made. She goes, as a 20-year-old, I look back at the 16-year-olds and I'm like, oh my God, you are the age that me and my girlfriend were like living together in my house. She said, clearly U-Haul lesbians are a very real thing, because I was one without even knowing what one was. Sorry, pause on this. The hell is a U-Haul lesbian? I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that is. Maybe there's a term in the lesbian community that's big on that. Moving lesbians? I don't know.
U-Haul lesbian. Like, legit, this is like going over my head. But okay. Maybe it just means like you're moving from place to place. Like you don't have a home, so you're just kind of shacking up with each other. I don't know what it means. Feel free to let us know in the private Facebook group, because I don't know what it is. But anyway, she said, looking back, there was a lot of things that contributed to them living together at such a young age. There was the pandemic. It was summer, not wanting to be long distance. And so she's like, we were like a married couple at the age of 17 and 16. She said, we did have a breakup. It was hard to go. It was so hard and great at the time. She goes, looking back, all of us, it should have never happened. She goes, my mom says that all the time. I should have never allowed my 16-year-old's partner to live with us. It's not healthy for you, much less for her and her family. She should have put her foot down, but no one at the time felt like it was right to. She doesn't name who the girlfriend was, but if you kind of look back at her dating history, she dated Kylie Prue. They met on a cruise back in 2020, and then they ended up going public in February 2021, 1 month after she came out as LGBTQ. And then they ended up breaking up like 9 months after that or something like that. So I'm assuming that's who she's talking about in this, but it's also been just a busy week in general, or busy time in general for JoJo. She's putting out new music. She has been all over the place. What are you thinking of this new JoJo that's coming out, where she showed up to one of the award shows dressed like a member of KISS, and then I see her on the Call Her Daddy podcast and she's got like this weird hat full of beads.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
So first off, as you were speaking, I had to look up U-Haul lesbian to make sure I'm not one. So a U-Haul lesbian is a stereotype.
You dress
of a
like
lesbian.
One, bro.
Dude, I'm telling you, you have no idea how many times I get mistaken. The older I get, I'm not looking more like, I'm looking more like a lesbian. And I don't say it in a weird way. I'm saying it's just weird. I look like a, I don't know. I look like a female that's into other females somehow. I don't know. That's what I feel like. A U-Haul lesbian is a stereotype of a lesbian relationship, referring to the idea that lesbians tend to move in together after a short period of time.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, I learned something new today. So thank you, JoJo.
You're not a new fan of this new JoJo Siwa. It's funny. Yeah, you're gonna like keep my like next time you see some like two girls, I'm like, are they U-Haul ones? JoJo Siwa, it's weird for me because she's one of those people you've seen evolve in the entertainment mm-hmm. industry. I mean, I remember seeing her outside live with Kelly in I think it was whoever it might have been with Strahan at the time. And she had the scrunchie in her hair and all these girl fans waiting outside for her. And she was a young girl. Now, I mean, actually, it's funny. I saw JoJo maybe about a couple months ago. And she's tall. She's like a I don't want to say a big girl. She's very tall. So it's a little like she's still growing up. She's still, you know, she's talking about, oh my God, I can't believe I was doing this stuff when I was 16 or 20, you know, 17, you know, but we're still seeing her. You have to still put that in your head. She's still evolving as a person. I don't know. I think really what we're doing is it frustrating, is annoying. I mean, you're just kind of like pick at her. However, it's just someone who's like growing up. And you look back at what you did personally. We each all have to look back like, man, I can't believe I did that thing. She's doing the same as that thing. It's a little, I mean, it's funny to like kind of poke fun at, but yeah, it's just trying a little too hard.
That's the thing. I'm not into the new look that she's doing. Like when she showed up, what the hell award show was it? iHeart Radio Music Awards or something? She showed up.
It was very dressed down.
It was weird. I was like, chill. Like, let's chill out. I know that she's got her new music video out, her new song called Karma. I don't like when people try so hard. And I say that, but then, like, I enjoyed all of Lady Gaga's weirdness back in the day, you know? But there were also moments then I was like, whoa, chill, girl. But it felt more, I don't know, theatrical. This feels more like trying too hard. I don't know. I guess if Gaga wore that outfit, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. Maybe it's just because Gaga came onto the scene and that's all I knew. Whereas JoJo, I'm like, you're the bow girl. So like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're right. Like the way we see her kind of changing it up really hard. It's not easy to make that transition. She's also competing against people like Olivia Rodrigo now, who's kind of made a very smooth transition. She's doing really well. JoJo, cool for me. Like, it's funny. You meet some of these celebrities and you try to be like, what's cool? Cool is something that kind of oozes out of your system. And it's not, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of,
maybe that's,
it's just got to come out naturally.
It doesn't feel authentically cool. Maybe that's what I feel weird about.
She's also trying to promote a project. She's young. Yeah. She's trying to promote a project. You kind of got to shake things up a little bit, even when sometimes on the outside, we're like, that's not cool. But yet again, we're talking about her. So, I guess that's really the part. But again, for me, when you're trying too hard, it doesn't really.
We've spent like 10 minutes too long talking about JoJo at this point.
Correct. Number 9.
Lenny Kravitz posts an intense workout video, and it is the greatest video I think I've seen. It's so funny. It's Lenny Kravitz at the gym, and he is working out in tight leather pants with a like fishnet top and sunglasses on. Like the most Lenny Kravitz video you've ever seen. He posted on his TikTok page. Here is a screen grab of it just so that people can kind of see what it looks like. If you want to see the full video, you can head on to our private Facebook group, Off the Record. I posted it in there, but it's literally him and he's got a dude holding his legs on like a decline bench, and then it looks like 45 pound plates on each side, and he is just like doing sit-ups and also bench pressing at the same time. The whole thing is very funny, and then he just like gets up. But he's pretty jacked, man. Like he's doing it like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty he's ripped. He's definitely in shape. He's definitely doing really well. The guy's ripped for his age. I mean, to see Lenny Kravitz in a gym working out in leather pants like that and sunglasses, it's just funny. I'd be curious.
59, right? Like the dude's 59. It's amazing.
He's 59.
He's doing more than me.
Yeah, he's got a very unique life. One of my favorite videos, I mean, I think they kind of cleared it from the internet. The funniest photo, Dax, you have to see. I don't know if you could find it anymore. It's Lenny Kravitz when he's performing. He rips his leather pants and he's
front row.
And he rips his pants and his penis is out, right? Like front row. Like he's in the front with his guitar, doing like the guitar solo thing, and he kneels down. And whoever's first row is 2 feet away from Lenny Kravitz's penis. Google it if you can find it and enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know if you can find it. I remember the day it happened because I was back at TMZ at that time. And I remember being like, oh my God, like clearly wasn't wearing any underwear and just split down the seam. Wang pops out in front of like an entire crowd of people.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz still in shape. He's doing a lot of like marketing. He's got, I guess, some new work. He's he's got some stuff he's been promoting lately. I saw a video recently on social media of Lenny Kravitz walking to a Buc-ee's, which, are you familiar with what a Buc-ee's is?
Yeah, it's like that big gas station, right?
Like off the highway. Yeah, it's a huge gas station, but they have like a massive sort of like convenience store inside. And he walks in the middle of nowhere and just like goes, gets like peanuts and is like walking around just like total like glammed up. And he's honestly, he's like almost like a, I don't want to say like a male Lady Gaga, but like to see Lenny Kravitz, it's just like, he's not a big guy either. He's just, he's a character.
Well, I think that's, so when you watch that video of him working out, he's literally in a full gym. Like there's people working out everywhere. It seems like a public gym, which was kind of the first part that threw me off. Is like, why is Lenny Kravitz just working out in a public gym, let alone in leather pants and a fishnet? But you're right. He is like a male Lady Gaga, and also in the Hunger Games, which I'm enjoying very much right now.
And also has a huge dong. I'll tell you once, I did meet him once. I was in my car in New York City, and all of a sudden he came out of an SUV and got, and I ran out because, and I didn't even film him. I just tried to like, hey man, I'm a huge fan. And I was like more just a fan of him, not even the music, because he had like a few songs I like, not like crazy amount of songs. I couldn't name you more than six Lenny Kravitz songs, could you?
No.
So it's like, you're just like, he's a very unique guy. And I ran up to him, tried to get a photo with him, and he didn't want to take the selfie with me. I was like, oh, thanks, dude. He took the selfie with me, but he didn't really want to take the photo with me. I was like, oh, afterwards, I just kind of took advantage of him. So it is what it is. All right, Dax, number eight.
Oprah Winfrey, reflecting on turning 70 and revealing that she doesn't have a fear of death, which I kind of find refreshing and nice at the same time. I guess she's also saying, though, that her number one concern is her health after, you know, like the big weight loss, all of that. So she sat down. She did this whole big interview with People Magazine, a part of the big 50th anniversary issue. And she said, for everyone who's approaching this stage in your life, your number one concern is your health. I don't live with a fear of death, but I live with a conscious acknowledgement that it is possibly at any time, which I'm like, oh, Jesus, sounds so deep. I would say that one of the reasons why I can sit in wisdom now, and I literally sit in the wisdom and I make no apologies for it, is because I have paid attention and I am really fully conscious. I've been paying attention for a very long time. She added that the gratitude really is my religion and that her outlook of life has not changed. She said, when you're grateful for what you have, you end up seeing that you have more than you imagine. Start with your breath and recognize what an absolute miracle is that the heart is still pumping, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, she just talks about being very grateful for being alive. And, you know, she had recently acknowledged that people had just mocked her for so long about her weight that I think she's truly like happy in herself at this point. Like, I can't knock that at all. I love that she's finally at the weight that she's probably wanted to be at for so long. And I don't even care if it had to, you know, is medical or whatever, or a pill or a shot or whatever it is. I'm happy for her.
She's one of the coolest people. I tell people always ask me how she is, and they want to hate on her. Same thing with the Kardashians. They give me a reason to hate them. Give me a reason to hate them. And I can't. She's great. She's very cool. And would you say Oprah's very honest?
Yeah, she seems honest to me.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't give Ozempic a commercial, if that's what it is.
She didn't even acknowledge that it was Ozempic. She's saying that it is a weight loss drug, but she's not saying which one of the big ones it is. And I think the reason she's not doing it is because they're not paying her. So like, why would she? Because she knows if she, whatever name she says, that is going to become the biggest name on the market overnight. I mean, people have followed her weight loss journey for years, have done all the things that she's done. And if she goes, Ozempic is what I'm doing, that thing is going to flat the shelf even more than it already is.
I also think she doesn't want to be responsible if things go bad there. You know, you can't start talking about it. And if people find something wrong about Ozempic, if some people get hooked, like addicted to Ozempic, we're not saying there is some sort of addiction sort of relation to it. However, you don't want to be responsible if things don't go well with Ozempic. So therefore, she can't really put her stamp, her name on it. And I think that was really a smart way of handling it. So, I mean, good on her. I'm always, when Oprah talks, you listen, because I do think it honestly comes from the heart and comes from a little bit of like wisdom. And she's a very unique person. So good on Oprah. Happy she's doing well. I always root for her. I will always be team Oprah, just like always be team, I think I'll always be team Kim Kardashian, because again, generally from my experience, and I hope people, you can say, well, that's your experience. I think that they are really good people. I think the way they handle themselves in the media is very well, and it's not easy. It's not easy. Dax, number 7.
All right, we're going to kind of blaze through this because we have taken a long time already to talk, and we are running out of time. Aoki Lee Simmons and her restaurateur potential guy that she was dating, it looks like they have split. So his name is Vittorio Asaf. Is that how you say his name? Do you know? It's a New York guy.
Something like that. He owns Serafina, which is, I don't know, Serafina is like a popular restaurant chain. They have like great locations in New York City. Old dude, old guy, young girl, old guy.
She's 21. He's 65. They were seen like hanging out together over, I think it was like Portofino. They had met. They're both into that boat life. But I guess it's over. And one insider told People magazine, not only is it over, it was never a thing. Aoki is learning to navigate her private life and the public sphere and can be difficult. However, Kimora was concerned to see her daughter in that kind of relationship due to what she herself went through. And so I guess it's all done. But yeah, a lot of people were talking about this because it was just that age gap was so weird for people to try to comprehend, 21 and 65. But, you know, I think she probably enjoyed a little bit of that yacht life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think people got interested because Russell, her father, is pretty much the same age as the guy. And here she is, a beautiful girl with this older guy. The photos of them kissing went everywhere. I was actually surprised how big this story became. And then Russell gave his blessing, but I'm assuming, you know, what we're hearing, the mom did not feel comfortable with the age gap. And after those photos of them kissing, they kind of called it off pretty quick after, pretty soon after.
Yeah, and Kimora's age gap with Russell was like a 20-year age gap.
Yeah.
This one is a 40-year age gap. It's much bigger. But so she was not into watching her daughter date someone that old. And I guess I just think, what do you have in common? Like that age gap is so massive. What do you have in common?
Fun. We like to have fun together. But you know, you wonder with an age gap like that, this is the first time we kind of get that glimpse into who Aoki is. Mm-hmm. You wonder if, you know, she's a model. She's like kind of like this model of the future. She's doing really well. You wonder if something like this could kind of hurt her career, or if it actually helps her career. Cause people are like, man, people are talking about this girl. Like, we're curious about her now. So I think it's, we'll have to wait and see how her modeling career kind of evolves after, you know, this is the biggest news hit that ever came to her. So very interesting. Dax, number 6, Sylvester Stallone. Mm. Yikes.
Yeah, so Sylvester Stallone caught up in some allegations right now, and basically now a casting company that was working with him on his Tulsa King productions is has bailed. They said, look, there's a lot going on with him being accused of disparaging some of the background actors who are working on this Paramount drama. Basically, you know, it's being said that he was rude to them, that he was talking negatively, calling some of the extras, quote unquote, ugly, tub of lard, fat guy with a cane. And these were all things that were posted on social media. And that one of the guys that was apparently being talked about says it really hurt his soul to hear himself described that way on a set. There is no actual proof of this. It's just all hearsay at this point. However, with now the casting director actually saying, never mind, I don't want to be a part of this project anymore, that's what's actually fueled it to the next level. You know, I don't know how true it is. I don't know if I've heard necessarily rumors like this before. I can say that, The allegations went on to say that when he was there, he goes, well, you know, this is a nightclub setting. Why do you have all these old people here? You need to have surround me with like young women. And I want to say one of the reps for Sylvester said this is 100% not true. Not only that, he would never say bring young women around when his wife was there on set with him. So they're like, everything about this doesn't make any sense to them. But having your casting director bail, I feel like there is some smoke there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's all allegations. It's he say, she say, or he say, I don't know what gender they are, if they even have a gender. Yeah, it's not a good day to wake up as Sylvester Stallone when you see your name in the news being accused of something like this. As far as what happened,
dickbag.
Yeah, as far as what happened, we don't know, but the casting company did leave the show and on to the next. And yeah, I don't know how that, how does something like this, Dax, how does something like this settle? It's like, okay, they're just accusing each other. Is there a lawsuit or was there a lawsuit or no? They're just accusing.
No, there's no lawsuit. It was literally a Facebook post that people were like, hey, don't go work for this production because Sylvester Stallone's being a jerk. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what it came down to. I don't think there was anything more than that. It's just people like stories.
I'll tell you
like
what. Now is a great time to go work there because I'd be like, what, you're accused? Okay, I'm going to go for that job now because of this news, they're going to be the nicest people ever. In fact, they might be so welcoming because they don't right? want to prove that they're these dicks. So now's the time you go for that job. In fact, I'm going to go on LinkedIn and send them my resume now for that. Dax, number five.
Megan Thee Stallion going completely nude for the cover of Women's Health. She opened up about her healing journey after the whole Tory Lanez shooting her in the foot incident and really acknowledges that she was depressed for a long time. So she did the body issue for the magazine and she looks unbelievable. Basically did a whole spread where she is out in the ocean naked. She is on rocks naked. She is everywhere, obviously covering up some body parts, but she looks beautiful, but what I have a lot of people talking is she talks about her friendship with Tory Lanez and the shooting incident and basically how it really affected her life. She says, I started to really question that night, despite the fact that she was the victim. She goes, I knew I wasn't myself. It took me a long time to acknowledge that I was depressed. She became a person who would basically sit in her house, not want to leave. She didn't want to perform. She wanted to just basically sleep every day. And it took her a while to go, this isn't normal. Like, this isn't how I should be feeling. And I think she's saying this because she wants other people to realize, like, it's okay to have depression. It's okay. But you need to get yourself help. You need to acknowledge that you're going through a tough time or issues and get the help. And she's been working with therapists and she's talked, the more she is talking, the better she is feeling. And I think that that is really what she wants to say is like, I'm back, I'm the new Megan. And, I'm moving forward. I guess she works out 4 to 5 times a week. She's doing Pilates, going to the gym, doing Stairmaster, elliptical, working out with 2 trainers. She's now designed a sportswear collection for Nike. She enjoys beach workouts. I mean, she is just, it sounds like living her best life now.
She looks good. She looks great. Every time I see photos of her with those photos, I'm not going to lie, Dex, it's a little bit creepy, but I'm just kind of a little bit curious. I zoom in on her feet because I want to see that, like, you know, because with Tory Lanez.
I thought you were like telling me about like some weird foot fetish you had all of a sudden. I was like, bro, what is happening? You want to see the star.
I'm not like you, Dex. I know you run footfetish.com. I, on the other hand, just want to see the scar from the shooting. And actually, I want to see if like they airbrush it for when they do photos. You can't really tell them this stuff, but I know that's a little bit weird. But hey,
do you know what foot it was?
I don't. So I look at both
feet. and now you have my curious because I'm looking and they've actually like, they cut her foot out of most of the images. So I don't know if that was done on purpose. But you don't really see her feet. There's one shot where she's like on the rock, but the other one is kind of covered. So maybe that was on purpose. Like they don't want you to focus on seeing the scar.
Yeah. Now everyone's going to be looking at like red carpet photos and are like, is she wearing open toe shoes? I want to see what her feet look like. And I'm actually curious if she has to like change up her sneakers. If she has to like, if she could wear normal sneakers because of
what happened to her foot.
I'm sure she has fine feet.
She had surgery to remove, like, I guess, shards of the bullet. But, yeah. I mean, she's up walking. She can dance now. It's not like...
She's very lucky. She's very lucky because that could have been so much worse. And just, it's insane what happened with that Tory Lanez situation. I mean, I don't have to go back into that.
Well, you know what was weird was just how much shit she got from the industry. That was the weird part for me. Like, the woman got shot in the foot and people turned their backs on her because she said something. Like, fuck that.
She's a snitch, they said. Yeah, it's like, dude.
You got shot.
If for her career, she could have lost her whole career over that. That's how potentially damaging that could have been. Dax, number four.
Margot Robbie. It sounds like
this
her
one I'm actually excited
company.
For.
Yeah. So Margot Robbie is set to make a live action movie based on the Monopoly game. You know, obviously she's had wild success with Barbie. Now she is sticking in the toy franchise arena and going to be doing something with Monopoly. We don't know too much other than they announced it that her production company, Lucky Chap, is working alongside Monopoly, and they are going to make some kind of live action movie. They released this at CinemaCon in Las Vegas. And again, not a lot of details, just that the partnership is happening. They've been writing, and there's a lot of mixed reactions online. Like, people are like, oh, come on, like, knock it off. Or is this going to be some sappy film about how, you know, like, landlords have taken over? I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I think, but it's so weird. It's sort of like Barbie. Someone said they're making a movie about Barbie. You don't know how it's going to be. It all depends on the script. With what's going on in the world today with real estate and kind of taking over property and renting and inflation, if the script is done well, it potentially we could do really well. I actually find it kind of interesting. I'm more excited for a Monopoly movie than a Barbie movie. Now, I know I'm not the Barbie audience. However, if the script is done well, it could be very unique, especially with what's going on today's real estate market.
So the original purpose of the Monopoly game, it was called the Landlord's Game. I found out about this because of the story. But it was supposed to show the unfairness of private property ownership and how the more you own, the more money you are collecting from people, and you are, you know, you are the boss of everything, and how it just is not fair that you are taxing people for this and you're making money off of this and blah, blah, blah. And it ended up flipping and turning into this thing where people enjoyed it because you feel like you are becoming the richest person in the county, you know? But I was reading some of the people's comments. One person was like, most likely this is going to be a lecture about how capitalism is horrible and that socialism is the way instead of some fun movie. I don't know. I agree with you. I think if it's written right and it's entertaining, that's all people really want, right?
It's just so cool. It's so difficult. It's easy. You get one name attached to a project like this. For example, Margot Robbie. Margot Robbie wants to take a meeting. Everyone takes a meeting with Margot Robbie. And she says, hey, I want to make a movie about Monopoly. Like that, everyone's begging to get
Well, who's
going to
say no to that? You just made Barbie a $1 billion movie. Like, okay. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was also, did Margot make the movie?
Yeah, she was a producer on
movie,
it.
Or was the marketing company behind Barbie make that a $1 billion movie? I think this movie could do really well. I would watch this. I think I'd be very curious about this. I just hope they don't put a political message with it, just so I don't have to feel like I'm being, I have to learn, I have a takeaway. I just want to watch a movie and have fun. That's why I watch this stuff. Same way like why you watch pornography. You just want to have fun.
get out of here.
Dex, number three.
All right, so the big question is, did Ricky Martin have a boner or did he not have a boner at the Madonna concert? That's what a lot of people are talking about. So this past weekend, Madonna was in Miami, and she brought Ricky up on stage because she's been doing this thing where during Vogue, she brings up a celebrity guest, and they, like, the backup dancers dance, and then they, like, rate him. And while he was on stage, two of the backup dancers came, and they basically gave Ricky a lap dance. And a lot of people are saying, wait. Once the background dancers get up and the guy's face is out of Ricky's crotch, it appears that he was aroused. I'm not 100% convinced. I saw TMZ putting up a bunch of videos being like, this proves he had a boner. I don't know. It looks to me like, you know, when your pants have that, like,
that fold,
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. That doesn't look like a boner to me.
Yeah. It's hard to, just for a comfort level, that kind of fold. It's just weird that that fold goes right there. Was it an erection? I don't know. I would guess no. I think Ricky has enough. I don't know. It's hard to get an erection for 25,000 people like that. Yeah. And it's like you're playing along
that
with it.
Quickly, like that quickly, quick, yeah. It just shoots up. Come on. I would say if him sitting there, the dancer rubs on him. The only reason I say I don't think it is because then Ricky stood up 2 seconds later, like, and fans himself or whatever. If he had a boner, yeah, he wouldn't have stood up because that would have made it even more obvious. Like, oh, true. Yeah, he for sure did. Like, trust me, through my years of middle school, the one thing you don't do when you have a boner is stand up.
Yeah, that is true. If anybody's never had one, just, you know, obviously when you don't stand up right after, it makes great theory, Dax. And I'm with you on that. They just don't stand right up. So it's just weird that the jeans flip right there. I mean, I'm looking at my pants right now. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I don't have a boner. I'm just
that's
saying.
What happens. The stupid jeans, like, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And he's not wearing jeans. He's wearing, like, black, I don't know, pants, but yeah, still but not convinced he actually had a boner.
Dax, number two, this is a little bit of a bummer.
Oh, this one kills me, but there will be no BravoCon this year, in the year of 2024. It is waiting. It is being pushed off till 2025. Andy Cohen announced BravoCon will not be coming back right now. And this is obviously in the midst of a bunch of lawsuits by former Bravo stars being launched at the network. But he announced that the annual gathering will return to Vegas in 2025. And just kind of sad. They've got a bunch of other things that are going on this year, like watch parties and this and that. But BravoCon was such a success, and I personally had a lot of fun there. That I was a little bummed to hear this. This was one of the highlights of my year, getting to go to BravoCon and hanging out. And, you know, 27,000 people actually showed up to the Caesars Forum in Las Vegas back in 2023 when the convention happened. And I thought for sure, like, this is it. Like, there's no way they would skip a year. It just seems like there's a lot happening at the network. They're not blaming the lawsuits, but it seems like that might be one of the issues. But it will go back to Vegas once they're ready for it.
Crazy that, I mean, it's pretty shocking that Bravo's like, you know, just to kind of let it simmer down a little bit, we're not going to do BravoCon. I don't think the Bravo audience is going to – Bravo's not hurting here. Do they make money on BravoCon? They probably make some money. I mean, it's a lot of work to put that whole thing together. But yet again, it's not worth damaging the reputation for advertisers.
But now that they've done it and it was successful, you just, like, rinse and repeat. You know, like, the first 2 years, I think, in New York, it was kind of a flop. People weren't happy with it. Last year, massive success. So, like, just do it again. That's all that they needed to do at this point.
Yeah, I guess with everything going on against the Bravo community, it's not worth ruffling the feathers with advertisers. Bottom line, advertisers is someone who kind of keeps the lights on at at Watch What Happens Live and everything. So they need everything to simmer down a little bit. And it's just not worth it. But that's a big bummer. I think a lot of people are going to be upset, like you and a lot of other people.
I loved it.
They look forward to this every year.
Melissa Rivers and I, we were already planning to go back, to do the whole thing, to make another epic trip out to Vegas. So I'm bummed. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I know you guys even knew, like, how to, like, crawl through the vents just to get on, like, good access. I know you ninjas do. You guys were good at that. Dax, the number one story of the week.
Morgan Wallen, obviously the number one story of the week. Him getting arrested after allegedly throwing a chair off the top of a building in Nashville at this bar. And the funny part is now this chair has become literally a tourist attraction. So on Sunday night, he was charged for 3 felony counts of reckless endangerment and 1 count of disorderly conduct. the whole incident took place at the Eric's Church Bar called Chiefs. This is located in like the Broadway Street in the downtown entertainment district. The news of his arrest broke. Tourists now have been going there because they just want to see the chair. So they show up to the restaurant and they're like, so where's the chair? Because I want to see the chair. I want to take a picture with the chair. And a lot of people are finding it interesting. I don't know if they're actually getting pictures with the chair. I don't know if the chair even exists anymore. There was apparently a picture of a cop, like literally holding what looks to be a chair walking inside. So it's got to be somewhere. But like what I would do at this point, auction that off, right? Like auction off the chair. People will buy it.
Yeah, it's credit to whoever built the chair that was able to kind of stay together after that type of fall. I mean, that was a major... That was a major fall. That thing is still together. Good on that chair. Morgan Wallen, tough week for him. That guy just keeps getting L's. I mean, it's
I think there's a bigger problem here. I think there's some issues with
substance abuse, alcohol.
Yeah, this is not the first run-in with cops. This is not, you know, he has gone to rehab in the past. I think a lot of people in his life are concerned about how much drinking he does and how he turns into a completely different person. They say he's like this fun, happy-go-lucky guy, but then you start involving too much alcohol and it shifts very quickly. So based on a couple arrests, some rehab, like I really hope that he can get himself together because I feel like he's got a huge career, you know, that is on the line when you start doing dumb crap. But let me tell you who did win out in this whole thing. Chiefs. This restaurant is newly opened, dude. They like literally just opened it at the beginning of the month. And then this incident happens, like the greatest publicity of all time. Like you open your doors, a chair gets thrown off the roof. And next thing you know, people are showing up left and right because they want to be at the scene of the incident. They look for the chair. Maybe that's what you do. Don't auction off the chair. Put it in the middle of the room with a glass case around it and let people come take pictures with it because people will flock there. That's what you do.
Exactly. It didn't work out the way they wanted to. I mean, it's not, but take advantage of it, but don't kind of, you know, let people have fun with it. Almost honestly, for the next 2 weeks, I put behind red ropes and let people take photos with it, like holding the chair over their head.
But don't touch it. Just, that's just there on the ground or even out front on the sidewalk.
Out front. Enjoy and let the chair enjoy its 15 minutes of fame. And but yeah, Morgan Wallen's got some, he's got some issues. I mean, that is a serious, that's an insane thing to do, to throw a chair off a balcony like that in Nashville.
Yeah. And that's a busy area. Like you could have taken
busy area. You could have, he's so lucky he didn't because that would have done more than just hurt someone. That could have took someone out. I mean, yeah, we'll see. Has he commented on the situation yet?
I don't think he put out a statement as of now. At least I haven't seen anything. By the way, great mugshot.
Great
fantastic
smiling
mugshot.
Great mugshot. We should do a thing where we just start reviewing. We should do a TikTok video of just like rating best celebrity like mugshots. I wouldn't say it was number one. I mean, you see a lot of mugshots. Dax, who was like the number one mugshot for you? I mean, it depends who looks good and who doesn't. I mean, the worst is probably like Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, for me, always looked the worst in the mugshot. Who looked the best in a mugshot? I mean, honestly, this guy's mugshot, Morgan Wallen's mugshot was so good. I would make that his like Facebook profile photo. Like, dude, that's your default photo right
Can
there.
Can you imagine if he did that? Shoot. Looking back, I mean, dude, Keanu Reeves had a pretty epic mugshot.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one.
Like a good one. Justin Bieber's wasn't bad, I remember, back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, we had like 17 Lindsay Lohan ones there for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be the best mugshot of all time. But there was a bunch of good ones. We could definitely do a review of mugshots if we wanted to.
That could be interesting. All right. Here's the top 10 mugshots of all time in Celebrity World. All right, guys. Well, thank you for checking out the Raw Rundown. If you're on YouTube, make sure you guys like and subscribe. If you are listening, check us out. You know, just give us a review. It's the best thing to do to support this podcast. We're on Facebook. We have a private Facebook community called Off the Record. Follow me at Adam Glenn. Follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Breaking news.
All right, well, this just broke. We had finished recording the episode, and I would say 5 minutes after we had got off, O.J. Simpson has died. The news broke at the age of 76 after what seems to be a long cancer battle. So Adam has already pieced off, so I'm going to just tell you guys a story by myself here, but did not see this one coming. Obviously, O.J. Simpson has had one of those probably one of the most high-profile careers, post-careers, a little bit of everything. You know, when he was a football player, he's one of the best football players, Heisman Trophy winner, legendary Buffalo Bills player, but then obviously stood trial for the double murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ron Goldman in the 90s, was acquitted, but still a lot of mystery and obviously hatred and all kinds of things for O.J. Simpson. I think there was a lot of mystique around him, still fascinated people to this day. You remember there was also that robbery in Vegas that he was a part of. I mean, his life was just riddled with scandal and all kinds of stuff, but it sounds like he passed away in Vegas, surrounded by his children and grandchildren on Wednesday when he passed away. And that news was confirmed to TMZ. Apparently he'd been battling prostate cancer for years and his health just took a turn, according to TMZ, as of late, landing him in hospice care for the last few months. The last video we saw of him was right around Super Bowl time. He was in his backyard saying he was rooting for the 49ers, his former team. But he made his first kind of news about having a cancer diagnosis back in February. One of the local outlets there in Vegas had reported it, but they didn't really have a lot of details at that time. Back then, he had just basically responded saying, "I'm not in hospice," but didn't respond to the whole cancer side of the report. It was like October, maybe? I just remember it was back in like 2023. He posted a video on X that said he had caught some form of cancer, but had suggested he had kind of beaten it. It seems like that clearly is not the case. There were some photos of him out walking around back in early January 2024 this year with him and a cane. But really, I did not see this news coming this morning. So, just want to get you guys caught up. O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76. So there you go. You guys are now all caught up on your entertainment news. I'm sure there'll be many more stories coming out about this over the next few days, but could not leave this out of the rundown. Obviously, one of the biggest stories to come out of this week.
A Huda Media Production.